I have asked State Senator Mark Chesler, formerly the Republican leader in the Senate, longtime veteran of Olympia, state senator from Ritzville, to join us, give us an update on several things going on in Olympia that you might not have heard about. It's what makes a segment like this so important. Senator Mark Chesler, good to hear your voice, sir.
Good to be back with you, John. Yesterday afternoon, we heard some really alarming news from Senator Wilson that Clark County had been vaccinating Oregon residents with their quota of vaccines. After this had the light of day shed on it, they came out with a very reasonable set of rules for people to identify themselves, except they used the word may rather than shall. You know how that works.
Okay, I sure do. In other words, it's a huge loophole. Now, for our listeners, as we have been making it clear, the vaccine is sent from the feds to the state. The state then sends it out to the counties. The counties vaccinating their populations. And, you know, we've been pointing out vaccination programs that are working really well, like Clallam County there, thanks to you tipping us off in Squim and Port Angeles with their drive-through programs. And then we talked to the head of the Kittitas County, Ellensburg. They've got a great program. They've vaccinated 95% of the vaccines they've received have gone into the arms or slated to of Kittitas residents. But you're telling me in Clark County, down by the Oregon border, they're using Clark County vaccines for their populations to vaccinate Oregonians?
Right. Senator Wilson and Rivers brought that to our attention yesterday afternoon. The mainstream media reported one person came from Oklahoma to the Tri-Cities. I can assure you, to get this type of attention, it was a lot more. It makes you wonder if they aren't coming across to vote, too.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's another topic for another day. Believe me, it's one we need to to discuss. But this is outrageous. I mean, my 87-year-old mom has to wait until the second week in March to get vaccinated because that's how long the line is in King County. And yet we are hearing about people coming over the state line from Oregon and they're getting vaccine?
That's what we found out through Senator Wilson. And I can assure you, Senator Wilson was not happy that her older Americans were waiting behind Oregon residents.
Yeah, no, this is not right in so many ways. And you would think that the county officials would be furious because right now, vaccine, it's not, hey, plenty for everyone. I mean, it's being rationed. So there's only so much to go around. It's not like they've got a glut of vaccine in Clark County. So I don't know why they allow people from any place other than Clark County. I bet if you drove down from, I don't know, let's say Tacoma, down to Vancouver and said, I'd like a shot, please. I bet they'd say, well, you're not a resident of Clark County. I bet that's the response you would get because that's the response that people are getting all over the state. Do you live in the county? So thank you for telling us this. And I notice, again, the wiggle room. They have a very reasonable-looking statement, and it looks like, okay, thank you for telling us about this. We're going to shut the door on this. The county may exercise this prerogative if they choose, which is just a loophole.
Right. The prerogatives for identification, a utility bill, a piece of mail, driver's license, school ID, statement from a faith-based group, really pretty darn simple, but the key word is may.
Not shall, but may. Great. Hey, listen, Senator Chesler, while I have you here, I want to ask you about two other things here. The first is the Washington State Senate had a hearing on their transportation package. And it is, I find it amazing that Olympia, which says, hey, we're not going to raise taxes on working class people. We're not going to raise regressive taxes. Apparently, plans to increase not only taxes on the gasoline you buy, but if you buy a new car, they're going to nail you for that as well. What are you hearing?
Well, I'll say it's not quite as bad as the House package, because you always should say something good about your colleagues. The okay. gas tax is really the least disgusting part of this when you look at a tax on every new car you buy, every building you put up, $2 per thousand tax on new residences. Then you go through and you have a carbon tax, Uber taxes, weight fees, rental car fees, motorhome fees, bike sales. One that really, for a lot of us that do our own work, a 1% tax on top of your local sales tax for auto parts. So the list is very long. I haven't committed them to memory yet, but there's something to offend just about everybody that pays taxes.
Okay, now, they raise the gas tax. The Senate bill is lower than the House. The Senate bill has a 6-cent increase in the gas tax. And what's this carbon? Is the carbon tax the low-carbon fuel standard that we've been hearing about that would artificially inflate the price of gasoline?
No,
or is this something different?
Two approaches. One is Reuben Carlyle's cap and tax proposal would provide funding. The other is a straight-up carbon tax at $20 per ton, and I don't readily calculate that into the per-pump price. But that is a big chunk of money. This is all, you know, we're 5 years into connecting Washington now, which was two-thirds of the Senate voted for, contained reforms. We haven't even finished building the connecting Washington package, and we're coming in with this record tax increase that clearly hits a lot of middle-income people.
Okay, tell us about two things that you said that I don't think our listeners have heard anywhere before, Senator Schessler. The first is a tax on a car that you buy?
Average tax on a new car or a vehicle licensed for the first time in the state of Washington. In my district, that would be buy a car in Moscow or Lewiston. And an average car would be $276.
That's for a tax over and above the sales tax?
Over and above the sales tax, the average car would be $276 based on new cars.
And then there was another fee that you mentioned here.
Well, yes, you have the one for those of us that do it ourselves and know the value of repairs on automobiles and trucks. A 1% additional tax on auto parts. Those are the things that a lot of us do. It's your oil filter. It's your serpentine belt. It's right. An alternator, a starter, brake pads, a muffler. Things that people like to do for themselves and certainly need to have done by their local dealers.
And so you have to pay the regular sales tax and then a 1% surcharge again if you buy auto parts to fix your own vehicle?
Absolutely right. Absolutely.
Is this
right.
going to get through?
You know, I think some days I think you should just bring the stupidity up for a vote and see where people land. Sort of like last night trying to pull 5114 to the floor of the Senate procedurally.
Now, that's the anti-lockdown bill. That's the anti-lockdown bill.
Sometimes you just need to know, are people shining you or are they with you? And the only way to get there is a vote. As bad as this package is, it would be nice to know, are there actually 25 people that would support this thing? I pray they don't.
How close are you, shifting topics to what you just brought up, 5114? And then I won't hold any longer. I know it's a busy day for you. But 5114 is the anti-lockdown bill that raised eyebrows because it had Democratic and Republican co-sponsorship. We had Senator Mark Mullett, Democrat from Sammamish Issaquah, on to tout the bill. And he says, it's just time for us to lift the lockdowns, which, by the way, are now happening in lockdown states like California already. I mean, they're already lifting lockdowns. So 51-14, how many votes do you have for it? You need 25.
You know, if people publicly vote like they talk privately, I believe there are 25 votes. But yesterday in state government, Sam Reed had a meltdown when
Sam Hunt Jeff or
Wilson
Sam,
tried to...
Sam, did you say Sam Reed?
Sam
you
Hunt.
Meant Sam Hunt.
No, Sam
okay.
Hunt. I'm sorry. Sam Reed's a much finer gentleman. But Sam Hunt had a meltdown when a freshman senator, Jeff Wilson, dared to procedurally move to vote on it. And then, of course, there was a procedural vote last night on the floor that Mark Mullen and Tim Sheldon, of course, joined Republicans in that move. Today, we're going to see some incremental change from Jay Inslee. But incremental is not going to help these struggling businesses. They need real relief, and a lot of people are just going underground. For example, Super Bowl weekend is coming up. 25% would be better than nothing. 50% would be reasonable. But many are likely to just have Super Bowl parties anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that the growing frustration with people is justified. And the data. The data will tell us that restaurants are less of a spreader than many other events that are allowed. And with contact tracing, I will tell you, we have had no complaints, for example, from the Kalispell Casino in Airway Heights.
Right. Great.
They do it
point.
Well, they do it safe.
The casinos, while all this is going on, we can't have socially distant dining at Applebee's. Oh, but the casino, you know, goes, and by the way, they are doing socially distant gaming, as they put it. And they've got restaurants in their facilities.
Yeah, I believe that the tribes have done a good job, because with contact tracing, we know if whether it's an I-5 casino or an Eastern Washington casino and restaurant, if they were a spreader, we would know through contact tracing. They're not, because the tribes have done a good job. I give them a lot of credit for doing a good job.
All right.
We can do what the tribes do in the private sector.
That is a great point. If the tribes can do it and there hasn't been a problem, why can't restaurants, cafes, bowling alleys, fitness clubs, museums, libraries, etc., why can't they do it outside casino reservation, tribal reservations? Great point, Senator Schessler. Thanks for joining us. Want to check in with you again periodically. Appreciate
the time. Absolutely, John.